We were talking about overcoming some of the final strongholds in the land for His glory to come out of the right hand of God. You know it's got to come through you, don't you? Everything He's going to do, He does through. The Holy Ghost got to bring it through your authority. He's got to bring it through the veil of the heart. And we're learning so much about that place, that inner sanctuary. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. This place right here is messed up. Then you're going to have a lot of up and downs in your life. When you come to harmony within, you're going to have a lot of peace and a lot of release of the Holy Ghost, because He's going to be free. And we got to get unplugged. Amen. We got to get the stoppages removed and the barricades removed. And He's been talking about strongholds and some of the things that are stopping the flow of the Holy Ghost, for it's out of our innermost being. The Holy Ghost is going to bring it down from the right hand of God, and He's going to bring it through us. Amen. And He's got to remove that. He's using the authority, the dominion He's given to man. He's got to connect. See, that's a bridge right there. He's got to connect with your dominion. He's got to connect with it, and He's got to move through that place. And when He moves through, He has to have a clean heart that's free of debris, free of trespass, free of wrong believing, free of strongholds, free of sin, free of unforgiveness and strife and bitterness. It's got to be clean and pure so the Holy Ghost can move the rivers of heaven through you. Out of your innermost being will flow the rivers. And then on the other side, He brings it in from that side, and then on the other side, He anoints it with dominion. And that's the anointing without measure. That's what we're looking for. We don't want just the realm that severally as the Holy Ghost wills. We want the anointing without measure. Go to Deuteronomy 7. Now He's talking to them about going into the promised land. He says, I give it to you. It's yours. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's everything you want. Glory to God. And He's telling them, and He says here in chapter 7, verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and He's cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, and the Hivites, the Jebusites. Look at this. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. Now, they might be greater and mightier than you, but they're not greater and mightier than God in you. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the imaginations and every high thing that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God and your inheritance that He has for you. There are things that exalt themselves that blockade the inheritance, that blockade the flow of the kingdom. Those imaginations are not the ones where it's the little thought that enters in during the day. These are structural thought systems, actions, reactions, behavior patterns, patterns in our life, strongholds that bind us to things and bind the kingdom from flowing. Whatever you bind on the earth is going to get bound up in heaven. Whatever you get loosed out of this jurisdiction is going to get loosed up there. Amen. I want it loosed. I want to be a free-flowing river. Amen. Dead in Christ, but alive unto God. You are dead, but your life is hidden away in Christ. Hidden away, hidden away, hidden away. Seated with Him in heavenly places. Glory to God forever. Now, Numbers, He picks it up too. But when Moses sent him in, He sent him down into Mount Hebron. We know a little bit about Mount Hebron in here, amen. And He sent him, and He adds two more to the list of seven. And He said, Anak, the sons of Anak, the giants in the land, and the Amalekites. I want to continue looking at some of the giants that are stopping the progression of the kingdom of God. Most of them live within our capacity. Within the realm of the imaginations, the systems of thought, within the realm of the soul that have to be torn down. Amen. As you know, God tore a big one down. And I'll talk about that tonight. The last one we talked about was independence. That was the Perizzites. You remember we talk about where the Perizzite means the one that dwells in the country will not cohabitate in the city. It's a dweller in the country and also the dweller in the forest. They're all locked up. And if you get down to the root of the root of the root, you know what it means? It means a chieftain, one that's separated, a fierce warrior. In that spirit of independence, it's a fierce warrior. It's a chieftain, and it refuses the cohabitation of the brethren. It wants to operate in independence. It will not come into a mutual submission to anybody. And whenever you have that kind of operation, it's me and God. The only one you're getting counsel from is God and yourself. Those kind of people live in a constant state of trouble because they won't move into a government and sit back. All right, tonight we're going to look at three of them. I want to start with the Amalekites. Now, the Amalekites, this is quite a stronghold. This is one of the more difficult ones to overcome. It comes from the root word Amal. And this is what it says. I don't normally do the Greek and Hebrew of all this, but in these I am, because we had to break down these strongmen what they meant. But listen to what Amal means. It means to toil through wearisome effort, whether a body or mind, to labor, to be miserable, miserable toil, travail. Comes from another primitive root of that root, which is basically the same. To toil, that is, work severely with, listen to this word, irksomeness. I didn't know there's a word named irksomeness. To work severely with irksomeness. Now you see this stronghold when the children of Israel in the Valley of Rephidim, when they came up and they had to hold up Moses' hands. You remember in that valley, and when they held his hands up, the Joshua with discomfort, Amalek was right there in that battlefield. As long as Moses' hands were raised, Joshua would prevail, but when those hands came down, Amalek prevailed. And he told him, he said, listen, I put out Amalek, Exodus 17. I put it out from the face of the earth. I want you to go there and look at this for a minute. Exodus 17, verse 11. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now he had some very interesting people holding up his hands. Amen. Now, verse 12, and Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him. Who do you think that was? With that rock. See, you're going to have your life on the rock if you're going to overcome Amalek. Now, Amalek gets its roots from the origin of the human race when Adam and Eve fell. And he says, from the sweat of the brow, you'll bring forth labor. God never designed us to operate like that. I'm not talking about going outside and having a good day's work and sweating. It's not like that. It's talking about operating under human sufficiency, trying to push your way through instead of that operation of not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. I found out when God can tear down these things, he can release really quickly. He can start doing things very quickly, things you're trying to do. We don't really need to try to build a church. We just need to get in alignment with him. We need to let him clean house so the Holy Ghost can come through the way he wants to come through. It's more than just coming to the altar. That's where it starts. But you got to get in there with him. Abide in him. Get close. Get into the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and let him bring all the darkness, all those hiding places, bring it up into the light where he can remove and purge and unveil us. See, first thing Adam and Eve did when they sinned, they hid themselves. We've been hiding ever since. We got to bring everything into the light. Boy, whenever God will just take one of them big veils off of you and you see the result of what happens when he does, the immediate release of what happens. We're learning how to release the Holy Ghost. We're learning how to release what he brought from the right hand of God. And the more we can be unveiled, you know, he really is bringing us back to where Adam and Eve, you know, they walked in a state of innocence and nakedness in the garden. We're not doing that, but he said all things are naked and open. But he said all things are naked and open before the eyes. See, we have to come back into that spiritual place where we're out of hiding. We're back in the open, see, unashamed, unashamed. We have shame peeled off of us. Amen. And guilt and condemnation in all our hiding, we come back in that place of perfected love that's casted all fear. See, he said of the sweat of the brow. And so we get a promise from God. We go try to produce it. How many of you tried to do that before? And you'll meet something in you. You go try to produce it in your own flesh. We all done it. That's the first thing you do when you get a promise, because you feel the faith of heaven come with that promise. And you feel like Elijah. I mean, you got it on you. I'm ready to get it. Let's go. And then God has got to show you there are things in you. They're going to try to produce the promise that he's got to remove from you. Amen. How many remember Abraham had two sons? Remember, one son of the flesh, one of the promise. We all have two sons. We've got a son of promise. You want to birth him, because you're going to have to birth him by promise, Abraham. Abraham the whole time is trying to cut a deal with God. He gets the promise from heaven. First thing he does, looks at Eleazar and said, hey, he's born in my house. How about him, God? Looking outwardly. Then he starts looking inwardly. Then he births Ishmael. See, that's the flesh. Amalek and Ishmael kind of go together. It's that birthing of trying to ministrate the promises of God through human sufficiency. The church is full of it right now. It's amazing. When Jesus left, he says, the works that I do, you'll do also, and greater than these, because I go to the Father. Basically, what I got, my glory that I have, I give to you. What I walked with the Father with, I'm giving you this. And what do? We bypass all that. Well, one day he'll show up and come, and we go try to build something. Just to get a bunch of people to sit in a chair. I mean, I like people sitting in a chair. Believe me, it's much better than people not sitting in a chair. But when you start preaching the costly things of the kingdom of God, not everybody's interested in that. So you've got to make a decision. Am I going to go for it? Is it going to cost us something to get his fullness? Are we going to just settle? Go back. It's going to cost. What's it going to cost? Well, how much you want. It depends on how much you want. You want everything? It costs you everything. So you got to be careful when you say, God, I give you my life. Well, how much are you going to give? It's easy to give God the stuff that doesn't cost us anything. Every one of us got certain things we can just freely give over to God. I mean, when I was first born again, I could give everything. I gave my shoe in the offering. I done gave all my watch, my gold. I had everything, and I just gave it all. And then so the next offering came by, I threw my shoe in there, and they sent that one back to me. I was in Bible school. He said, we appreciate your fervor for the Lord, but you can have your shoe back. But those areas were easy. But sometimes that area is hard for somebody. It's not the areas that are easy. It's the ones that are difficult. More importantly, it's the ones you don't even know you got. There is nothing hid that shall not be manifest, neither anything kept secret that it should come abroad. In my word, it was brought to be put on a lampstand. Was it be brought to put under a bushel on a lampstand? Spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. He puts that word on the lampstand of your spirit to enlighten your house. When you flip that light switch and see all those cockroaches, see, that's the stuff he wants, the stuff hiding in the darkness. Amen. You got to flick that. Amalek is one of those hidden areas we don't know we're operating in. We don't even know we have that capacity. Abraham didn't know he had that capacity. He said, Abraham, listen, you're not going to birth this by yourself. You're not going to birth it trying to figure it out. It's going to have to come by promise. You're going to have to birth this by faith. It's not going to birth by the works of your hands, Abraham. The great things of God are all birthed by promise. And then you got facilitators. Well, I wish sometimes we were facilitators, but we are birthers. Amen. A facilitator can come up into the kingdom, and they can come right up into something's already birthed, and they can grow up real fast because it's already birthed. Amen. I used this example a while back that Kenneth Hagin, you know, when he birthed the faith movement, and somebody, if they were called to minister up in that, they get right up in that government because it's already birthed. They can grow up very quickly and start moving in it very quickly. It was already birthed. That government was already in the earth. But what if you called to birth something that might not be flowing yet? First, you got to find your way because you look around everywhere. Where is what I'm carrying? Where is it flowing? Because I'm looking for somebody. Then you got to realize we're going to have to do this. Holy Ghost, how you going to get this up in the earth? You're going to have to be born by promise. Boy, he's taught us a few things about that, has he not? And so one of the great, strong giant, strong men of Amalek will stand up in there and try to get you to switch allegiance from not by might, not by power, to by my spirit. But as long as Moses' hands were lifted, Aaron was the priesthood of worship, and he was the granddaddy of Caleb. She had confession and worship. You see, it was that relationship, the recognition. We can't defeat this enemy in ourselves, but if we can keep these hands raised, if I can keep myself in a position of communion, of unity, of oneness, of abiding, if I can stay aligned with heaven and the Holy Ghost can go anoint Joshua's sword out there and discomfit Amalek. See, he can tear down that stronghold. But if I let down, if I let my guard down, see, you got to get up on that rock. First thing you got to do, I let my guard down, and Amalek starts prevailing. Amen. Now he says something very powerful here. Everyone's got to get exercised in it. How many of you are carrying a promise up in here? How many of you just one day you think that promise is going to fall out of the sky? You journey to the place of that promise. You journey in your heart. That's a huge journey. You can sit in one place for 20 years, but take a journey in your heart. Sometimes the journey of the heart from unbelief to faith may take 20 years. It's all compressed in this little window right here called the heart. If you don't know how to make that journey and how it gets through the heart, you start looking for it in the wrong place. You get your faith all misaligned. God's going to bring it here. He brings it right up in here. My word, the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who will ascend into heaven? Bringing back down, who's going to descend into the deep? Bringing back up, what saith it? What saith it? Thy word is where? Where? And in your mouth. That's where your faith has got to get cindered. Holy Ghost spent 6 months to about 9 months on that one right there. Praise God forever. So that's how we're going to defeat it. He's going to unwind and unravel your capacity to do it yourself. How many of you ever been through a little brokenness? But some areas are stubborn. Some areas don't want to break. Some areas we keep going right around the same mountain again. Chuck saw one of my mountains for quite a while. I can only imagine. He goes, we got to go back around again. I mean, some things you can't see. But rest assured, God's going to tear down. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But here's a good thing. When God tears this stuff down, guess what? Ho, ho, ho. The Holy Ghost just releases. You get into Joanne Lofton's word, effortless. Just whoosh. It is going to be effortless by the time it's over. It is. What must we do to work the works of God? Your work is going to get everything right here. But once he flows, it will be not by might. You will step into the blessing. You'll step into the flow. You'll step into goodness. Things will start happening for you. And you'll say, I didn't do it. God will start building bridges for you. Start putting you with people. Places. So how come it not happen? You might have some stoppage. Oh, I would know if I had something. Really? I ministered 15 years in a full gospel church with the anointing, with the spirit of revelation, preached over 3,000 to 5,000 messages, and it still survived. Control survived. Had a bad case of it. Didn't know it. Boy, and he stripped that out. That's Anak, by the way. We'll have to get into that another night because he's all over Amalek. Some of you are carrying past of something somebody did to you 20 years ago and still carrying it. You can carry it for a long time. You know, the heart can carry a lot of things. You can carry trespasses and unforgiveness for years. Get eaten up with it. You are a retainer. Whatever you retain will be retained. Whatever you loose will be loosed. Amen. Back to human sufficiency. This is the big one. This is where you stand up in front. And this is where the people, sometimes the body of Christ, stand up in front of the Holy Ghost and say, well, now, we appreciate that you were sent to bring us power and all that, but since it didn't come the first year of the ministry, we're going to just go on and do it ourselves. And we start building things and building models and building things just to get somebody to come sit in a chair. Hey, just because a place has a whole bunch of people sitting in a chair, I'm thankful that at least they're sitting in a chair. But that don't mean that place is pleasing. It's a habitation of God and it's going to perform His will. It might be people just coming in to soothe their conscience so they can live the way they want to the rest of the week because nobody's a conscience for them. You see, we're going to have to come into the depth of God. You know, so many people just afraid of it. I mean, why would they be afraid of this? Why would they be afraid of the living God and His glory and His soon to be manifested creative power? Amen. Creative power in the American church. Imagine that. Creative. I'm not talking about power, creative power. There are certain realms. Chromosome disorders. See, those arenas, like, why bother to bring them to church? It takes four people to get them here. There's a realm between where we're at and what He promised. And instead of trying to replace it with something that looks good, why don't we just stop, put the brakes on, and go into God and start listening and say, Holy Ghost, enroll me into the school of the Spirit. Use me while we're doing it. Let me flow. I'm going to make a living. But I want to listen and I want to hear. And I want to nail my ear to the doorpost of wisdom's house. And I want to learn what's between us and that realm. And it might cost us temporary growth. It may cost us a lot on the way there. We're going to have to learn a lot of things. And we've learned more lessons than we wanted to learn. Trust me. Because one of the lessons you're going to discover is you. You're going to get a Discovery Channel of you. You're going to be playing on the monitor. Instead of the goldfish swimming across the monitor, it might be a piranha. Might be a wolf come out of there and say, that is me. He said, that is right. This is what's stopping right here. I need to take that piranha and transform him to be a goldfish. Then you'll go, God, it's a good thing. See, part of this process, you're going to lose a bit of our own pride and that self-sufficiency. And that's part of the unraveling of the human sufficiency. It's the unraveling of that performance syndrome. You know, we've got to perform. Listen, all we need is the Holy Ghost's performance. Because, see, He's been entrusted with the inheritance of the right hand of God. Jesus gave it to Him and sent Him down into the church to manifest it. Now, He's got to work with us and through us. We just need Him to perform. Amen? We need to get out of the way. Get Him up in front of us. Amen? That's easier said than done. It's easy to stand up in church and say, oh, Holy Ghost, we welcome You. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. You know, that's easy to do. But that always means He's going to come because you decide to welcome Him. Sometimes we're going to have to welcome Him up in the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week cycle. You have to welcome Him up into the places we're hiding and let Him play some discovery. Amen? Because we're going to have to learn something. Imagine that. You're going to have to learn something in the kingdom of God. Amen? We're going to have to learn a few things. And the hardest thing ever is to be shown something that might be in us until He takes you to the judgment seat of Christ. And then He really shows it to you. Amen? So Moses holds up his hand. Now look at verse 12. So Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone, and under him he sat there, and Aaron and Hur stayed his hands. That's a place of communion. That's where God's lifting you up. That's where God's staying you and holding you in that place. See, you're in a place. See, when you abide in me, my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will. And when you're out of alignment, not very many things happen. Have you ever realized that? When you're out of alignment. But when you get in alignment, things start happening. Amen. That's sort of the stuff we're feeling up in here right now. The reason we're kind of excited about it is because we haven't felt that stuff in a while. We've been in a wilderness. And God's begin to unveil us and says, look what I have here. Amen. Now look at verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek. I like that. And his people with the edge of the sword. See, your ability to surrender human performance and toil of man. See, that sweat of the brow, that's why Jesus had to wear the thorns. You know, they took those thorns, and they plaited them, and they took reeds, and they beat them down. And those reeds pressed into the forehead, and that blood was shed, see. Once the blood was shed, the redemption from the sweat of the brow. And now we have the mind of Christ. We can operate in peace. We can operate in glory. We can operate in power. We can operate in harmony with heaven. Amen. We can operate. See that? You see why, how these giants have to be torn down? Because they possess and occupy your promised land. They'll keep you from it all flowing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, hallelujah. Now watch this. And verse 14, this is awesome. Incredible two verses here. The Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. See, he broke all of that. When you're in your rightful seat in heavenly places, because you're seated together in heavenly places, when you're seated together with him, you're freed from that. It's only when the earth starts wrapping itself up around you and the systems of the earth start entangling you back in. Now watch what happens right here, two verses later. For he said, verse 16, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. First verse, he says, I put him out utterly from under heaven. Totally destroyed. And the second verse says, you're going to have war with him from generation to generation. He's talking about two different jurisdictions there. In the jurisdiction of the kingdom, Amalek has completely been put out. In your positional standing, seated together in heavenly places, Amalek is completely put out. But in the earth system, you're going to have war with Amalek here. It's always going to try to merge on the promise of God and get you to do a trade-off. Sometimes Amalek doesn't show up with a sword. Sometimes he just shows up with a good idea. Hey, Abraham, why don't you just get Hagar and make this happen? Hey, Abraham, why don't you just get Eleazar? It's a good idea. It's neutralized by a good intention. You got a promise. I'll give you an instance. This is a great one. From an old friend of mine shared this with me. Let's just say you're born again and you start praying and getting close to God. And all of a sudden you just have this overwhelming desire to minister to deaf people. I mean, you can't get away from it. First thing you're going to do is get with the pastor and say, look, you have any deaf people in your church? First thing you're going to go learn sign language. Amen. And that's one of the things you're going to do. And as you keep praying, you get more and more of an urge and more of an urge and more, well, then you're going to start looking for the natural inventions. All of a sudden you just get these ideas and develop the latest and the greatest hearing aid. You see? But most of the time, because of the present system of the church, we don't think about, hey, how about stopping all that? That's all good stuff. That's helping humanity. But you know what? When you set a table before humanity, call the poor, the lame, the deaf, and the blind. That's what Jesus said, call them. Now, you ain't going to call them to a table if you don't have anything to feed them. Amen? He said, the blind will see, the deaf will hear. When John's disciples came upon Jesus' ministry in that random hour, what happened? In a random hour, they said, are you the one to come? Because John's just getting, he's getting beat up, man. He's in that prison and he wants to know if my life is in vain. Go find if this is the guy. Go ask him if he's the one. And he sends his disciples and he says, are you the one John sent us? He wants to know. Are you the one? Jesus, you know what he says? In a random hour, they said he came upon a random hour. He says, you go tell John, you want an earmark that I am who I said I am? You want the earmark? And go tell John the things that you do see and hear. In this random hour, the dead have been raised. The blind have seen. The deaf hear. The maimed have been made whole. Go tell him what you've seen. Blessed are those that are not offended in me. You see the difference? Same thing with church. You call the pastor. You call the ministry. You know, you're going to either employ, plug into the latest and the greatest. Yeah, church growth seminars all the time. I'll tell you, God's church growth seminar for the American church is the creative miracles of God. I'll tell you, when they start flowing, you will not find a building anywhere. I'm not talking about trickling. I'm talking about flowing like a river. You're not going to find a building anywhere. It's going to in case the people that are going to come out. Amen? Or you can just shift it. And see, that's the danger of Amalek, because it can present something really good, but it's stealing the best. It's trading the hundredfold for the 30 and the 60-fold, because it is good, and you're bringing forth fruit, but it's trading off the other realm. And more importantly, once you start shifting, your compass starts shifting, and you build an order of things. You build a platform for all those that are feeding off of that platform. They're going to do the same model. Now, this is the model. This is how we do it. This is how you get them to come. You see the model that gets formed, and all that's been forged and formed by a giant that was ruling, that was unrecognized, did not get enough of the Discovery Channel to tear it down. And so we don't have any, are very few, I would say, I don't want to say any, real role model apostolic government operations that are forging ahead, and the Holy Ghost is pouring out like massive rivers of living water. That's why you got to watch what you're subjecting yourself to. Because it might be good, and you might be trading off the hundredfold because you're losing your compass. You're setting it for another land, see. And see, once your compass is forged and once your compass is set, once this is the way I think that what God looks like, I'm going to spend my life going after it. And you're going to employ the human ingenuity machine. Amen. Once that gets employed, the human ingenuity machine, you lose it. I have another compass. I mean, hell, the Bible. This is a very real compass. We can dive up into it and recognize the shortcomings and recognize the giants in the land that are inhabiting our land, they can be torn down. Amen? Torn down. And the release of the right hand of God. See, Christ inherited that inheritance on our behalf. It's there. And he's blessed us with all the spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He wants to bring it down into the earth. Holy Ghost going to bring it through us. He's going to anoint it. Amen. Let's all lift our hands. Glory to God. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you tonight. Holy Ghost, I thank you. We're on your pathway. You have not failed us. You will not fail us. You have set our compass for hundredfold. Hundredfold, 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 a full inheritance, walking in a king priest government, operating under the eight operations of God, apostolic, prophetic, pastor, teacher, evangelist, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues in fullness without measure. Everyone say, bridge me, Lord. Build a bridge for us tonight. Build a bridge higher than we ever thought. Build a bridge higher than we've ever seen. Build a bridge from the right hand of God to us, and from to us, through us, into the earth. Build a bridge from the right hand of God into the earth. Build it so heaven can come through it. I step in it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen.